Got Your Ears On is brought to you by Tactical Legion Knives. Live from the campus of Tom Radio, under the direction of Guido, Scoot, and Johnson, it's the pride of podcasting. It's Got Your Ears On.
All right, everybody, hello and welcome to this week's episode of Got Your Ears On. I'm Guido along with Scoot.
Hey.
And Johnson.
Helmet talk.
Man, I got to tell you, I wish I had a football helmet to wear right now.
One of these football helmets to wear.
One of these
especially.
Football helmets.
This has been the best. I said it last week, but this has been my favorite thing lately. It's been great.
It's been fun to watch the helmet high school helmet tournament kind of develop on Twitter, and I think it kind of for us came out of nowhere, but it kind of exploded, and we're super excited to have the guy behind it for the state of West Virginia, Wes Wilson. Wes, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, guys, I appreciate you having me on. Number one, and two, when I tuned into the show, last week and heard you all talking about, I was like, oh man, here we go, this is awesome. So
you've hit the big time. Got Your Ears On talking about us, some random West Virginia podcast.
Hey, so it's funny too, because we've got a group of all the guys that are running the tournament are in kind of a group message on Twitter, and so when we have media hits on this, everybody goes nuts, and the guys ate up the podcast last week, so they're going to be really pumped about this one.
No pressure. Nice. Excellent.
No pressure.
Well, welcome.
Yeah.
So basically, the run through on this is a few weeks ago, had a friend of mine reach out to me and say, hey, I got this message from these people that are doing some kind of tournament, has to do with helmets. Didn't have a whole lot of details about it, and he was like, check them out, message the guy, see what you think. So I said, okay, I'll see what they're saying. So this guy named Trevor Arnold, he's the head coach at, I got to pronounce this right, I think it's Maquoketa Valley High School out in Iowa. And he developed this idea to do a national high school football helmet tournament. And the dream, of course, is to get all 50 states. And I think we're up to 39 as of today.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Over the course of the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So over the course of the last 2 weeks, he's gone from probably 10 or 12 to, again, almost 40 states now. But you just got this group of guys that are head coaches, athletic directors, or people like me that are designers or do a lot of graphic work, that have kind of banded together to run this thing across the country.
It's cool, man. And I feel like it started off, I mean, you did really great. You did great on Twitter kind of promoting it. And
Didn't you say last week, Guido, we gave you a shout out, Wes, because Guido noticed you've got more of a Twitter following than like the national guy. And we were like, yeah, like any reason to have like West Virginia guy number one, we were like, heck yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Well, and it's funny. I actually, a buddy of mine said that earlier today. He's like, why are you not verified? And I said,
we're going to make a movement. Get you the blue check.
Yeah. Get you the blue check. You need the blue check.
It's crazy though, really, and each one of the guys, when I got on board, that was kind of the deal with this whole tournament, was each state has done theirs differently, and there's not really a perfect, formula. So, number one, I had to sit there and figure out, okay, we're not going to do three winners. We can't, there's got to be one. Each state can only have one. So we had to take all three classifications, make them into one group. So I'm here playing, miniature SSAC.
right. How do you seed and regionalize and everything?
So was that, did you basically do the seeding like basically off of what you thought they should have been?
Question has been really, really important, because there's been a lot of debate on that. It was actually a completely random computer generated seeding. I have ties to Mingo Central. I graduated from there in 2012, the first graduating class. And some people thought, oh, man, he's going to put the Miners at number one seed. And we are known for having some particularly fancy helmets. But I said, hey, they looked down and see Mingo Central as I think we were a 24 seed or something. I said, that's a good way of showing I'm being fair and there's no.
I was going to complain a little bit. I'm a Marion County guy, and all three of those Marion County schools got bunched together in that one. the South there, I think, or the North. And it kind of, we all got messed. And then North Marion somehow takes everybody out. I don't understand that. I mean, polar bears? Come on, polar bears.
You had some tough matchups.
He's got, I will say too, it was interesting before I got here with you all, I was doing some numbers and totals and looking at it. Actually, total at this point, we have had 78,000 votes overall in the entire competition.
Wow, that's great.
That's amazing. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you think, you know, just in one tournament like this to get that much participation, I was hoping we'd average about maybe 100 to 200 votes per contest or per matchup. And our smallest matchup, as I look down the list here, had like 580.
Right. Oh, wow. That's great. And that's really good. You
know, not just people in West Virginia voting. The national account would retweet this out to their people. And we had some other coaches in other places. A guy that's also a fellow designer that's helping run the Montana competition, Gus O'Keefe. I'll get his name right here in a sec. Gus has been pushing it out, getting it to a bunch of other people. And it's kind of neat to have, I guess, in our sense, unbiased opinions, you know.
Yeah.
Because we all do have our ties to our different little
schools. Sure. Yeah.
It was kind of unique to see how it played out, because that was my comment at the beginning of the whole thing, was when it starts, there is no telling who's going to end up at the point we're at now.
Yeah.
Right.
What age group do you think seems to have the most participation? Are they people closer to graduation? Or are they people like us who've been out for about 20 years?
I really, what you just said is probably the top two groups for sure. I think number one is really the active players, the kids that are on the rosters right now, because they see their helmet and they go nuts and get excited about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Two, you do get these folks that are like you say, a little bit out of it and they're still passionate. Had an incident yesterday, actually, where we had to just about ban, I think it was the Preston Barstool account, and the gentlemen, they were passionate about their competition, and my Twitter kept blowing up. It was just these two going back and forth. I said, guys, either stop now or I'm going to kick you off completely. You won't be voting anymore. So
feisty. You said Preston, that's a nice looking helmet.
Yeah. And I tell you,
sharp helmet.
Just because of the Knights, I'll call them the Dark Knight here, if you will.
I like it.
I like their helmet for the competition. I wasn't real familiar with it, but the flat gray with the black face mask and the sword kind of up the middle. And
yeah, that's
a castle.
Yeah.
I coached at Tyler Consolidated, also a Knight, and our helmets are they're pale in comparison to Preston's. Preston's got a nice logo. It's pretty neat.
Well, the way they've kind of, they embrace the theme of you got the sword, but then you've got the castle. It's like these deeper meaning, and we're seeing that as a designer. Schools are really thinking, hey, what can represent our community, our mascot, our name differently? And I think that's part of the reason Preston's had so much success is people haven't seen a helmet like that. Even though, for example, like you're saying, Tyler Consolidated or Mount View is also the Knights. Mount View did pretty well. It's been interesting. Preston's definitely the dark horse, dark knight of the competition, in my opinion. If you were asking me who was going to be the top four, if it would have been played out, you know, I don't think Preston would have been there, in my opinion. So that's what makes it awesome.
I think there's a couple of surprise for me in the top four. I was a little surprised that South Charleston is in it, right? That it's not a flashy logo or anything, but I think it must just have a strong appeal to the people from that area.
Yeah,
and maybe some alumni.
So scoot your final four university. You know, university's got the kind of the goldish helmet with the U.
Kind of reminds me of Miami.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but does. Different colors.
You guys talked about Preston and South Charleston, and then Princeton, right, is our other entry for the final four, and they have a really sweet looking helmet. Now I'm going to go ahead and say, and I think we're going to get there in a second. I'm kind of leading the witness here a little bit, Guido, but I'm not going to lie. I'm disappointed to not see the Mingo Central helmet. I mean, I was so fired up last week about that helmet. And I was like, when I saw this final four come in and it wasn't included, I was just like, what?
Man, yeah, there it is. He's got one.
Such a cool helmet.
That's
and
a great
even,
looking helmet.
I'll let you talk on it. But that helmet is what grabbed my attention at the start of this. And talking amongst the three of us, I was kind of like, oh, to me, that one's got it wrapped up. But
yeah, I was
you never know.
Surprised.
You never know how to play out.
Now, there have been several different versions of their helmet, right?
Correct. We've actually, just to clarify that, because people, I also serve as a Boosters Club president for Mingo Central. So we get this story about us that we've got all this money and we buy a new helmet every year. When in fact, our coaching staff just asks our reconditioning folks to do a different paint job. So we essentially pay whatever the same reconditioning fee is every year for a different paint color, unless we do something fancy on the finish.
Gotcha.
But we have done a different helmet every year for the past 10 years. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary season this fall.
Well, and I have to imagine the kids love that, right? I mean, I'm sure they love seeing whatever the new design. That probably even adds some, like, anticipation for the season, I bet.
Johnson's favorite part of the helmet is the outline of West Virginia.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
he loves that.
The warning decal, that's kind of unique. We picked up on that actually from, I believe it was the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana, did Louisiana. And we thought, shoot, come on now. So the people who do their decals also do ours. And we said, hey, do our West Virginia one that way. And it's kind of neat instead of having the boring rectangle warning decal. At least it's kind of cool looking now.
That's awesome. I love it.
Tell us a little bit about your opinion on helmet stickers. Now, as a nice helmet gets designed and then all of a sudden, you know, Scoot goes out there and makes a good tackle and he gets a helmet sticker. And then, you know, pretty soon you get all these helmets. Where do you stand, Wes, on helmet stickers?
Last season was our first year at Mingo Central of attempting to do award markers. And you'll catch the word I said, attempted. it's tough. You know, the coaching staff has to make decisions on what is worthy of that. Each school, well, as we got into it, we realized each school kind of has their own system, whether it's a university or a high school. And it's tough to differentiate what you want to award it for. I think it's kind of cool. Last year, it did make it look neat for some of our helmets, but where we did have our primary design just on one side, you'd look at it, and if you had some of the guys that weren't making the big play, so to speak, their helmets were a little cleaner or decorated. So right. I think to a certain degree, if we could go back and redo it, I'd almost would have done our primary decal on both sides and then filled in around it just to give a more oomph to it. But, you know, it's something. It's just what I would tell if there was a coach asking me, should we do it? Man, you got to allocate a lot more time of just other than coaching, putting stickers on.
You almost have to have a guy that's their job is to get the sticker guy. Stickers.
Yeah.
That's a good job for you, Scoot. You could be the sticker guy.
I could be the sticker guy for somebody.
VP, Director of Sticker Placement.
Tyler used to have stickers, and they had a chart. You know, if you were an offensive lineman, so that, you know, obviously when you're not a skill position player, people think, well, I'm never going to get any stickers. But they had, you know, if the team rushed for more than 300 yards, you got a sticker if you're an offensive lineman. You had all different, you know, sacks or five or fewer sacks, you'd get a sticker, that kind of stuff. And they had, it was kind of neat. It was like a shield with two swords going across the shield. That's what Tyler had at one point. Now they go with it's like a matte black finish with just a silver TC, kind of a chrome silver TC on, I believe it's on the left side because they're supposed to put the logo is on the side closest to your heart, I think is the way you do it. So, that's what Tyler's is like now.
Since you mentioned Tyler Consolidated, I'm going to go completely random audible play here on you all, but a good friend of mine, Rick Leach. I don't know if you remember.
Sure.
Coach Leach. I think he's credited, if I remember right, with introducing a little bit of blue that's in some of Tyler's stuff. And I love that. I think it's a good little splash.
Yep. No, he's a great guy. Great basketball coach. He had two stints as a basketball coach. I actually coached with him in basketball. So he's a great guy. And he is, I think, credited with throwing a little bit of blue, royal blue, into the silver and black.
And it's interesting because we're seeing schools like down my way are I'd consider them a rival, I guess, in the basketball sense, not in football because we don't play each other. But Tug Valley, for example, mm-hmm. they're black, silver, and white. But they've integrated this real little bit of a green panther eye to their helmets. At one point they did that, not currently. And I thought that was just great. And where I'm going with that is back to our main thing here with the helmets is teams are starting to go, I mean, how can we be different? What can be unique? And through this contest, I think that's been kind of what's neat is, as far as I know, this is the first time in the history of state we've actually cataloged every helmet from a single season. So all the helmets in the tournament for our tournament were all 2019 models. There was kind of a debate, oh, will Mingo Central throw out their, you know, 2012 helmet and Kaiser will pick their 1978 version.
Right.
And,
right.
And it could have worked. We could have done it that way. But I thought, man, for the first time we're ever doing this, let's keep it 2019.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see, and I hate to pick on our state, but it's like we do have a good handful of 20 or 30 helmets that are unique and the logos are something you won't find anywhere else in the country. But man, there's probably 60% guys that are pretty average or you copy them, mm-hmm. you've seen them somewhere else and they just don't have that uniqueness.
Yeah. I wonder if you'll start seeing more after this, you know, all goes down, if you'll start seeing more of these high school coaches and athletic directors change it up a little bit and try to put something a little more fresh and cool out there.
I think it's neat because you don't see, like in my part of the state, we don't very rarely do we see teams from the southern part of the state. So we're actually seeing a lot of ideas and helmets that, oh, okay, I've heard that school, or I know their mascot, but I didn't know what colors they were, like, you know, Princeton. I didn't think they'd be that color blue. I guess I don't know what I thought they would be.
Yeah, for me, it was like, Guido, it had that same feeling like when you find new music that you like. It was right. Like, it was like, you know, we've talked about that. You know, we've been in the state forever, or like, you know, like Scoot or I, you know, you and I grew up there and graduated high school. I know most of these cities. I know most of these schools. But then it's like, this was a cool new angle on something that you had assumed you knew everything about. So that's why I jumped into it. Wes, I wanted to ask you too, if you would share, I'm just interested to know about, like, how did you get into this, or what is your background that kind of led you into your design work? And then, kind of like Scoot was just getting to, do you think, like, is that a special, position that you have with Mingo Central that maybe other, you know, do you think that would prompt other high schools to look into having someone like yourself on staff, or how did you get into all of this?
Well, this is really actually kind of a funny story the way it played out. But again, I was part of the first graduating class at Mingo Central, and our class voted on the school colors as juniors and the mascot and all that kind of stuff. The one thing we didn't vote on was the logo of the school, the original logo. And here's where it gets funny. Our original logo for Mingo Central, I called him the brawny truck driver.
Okay. All right.
I hate to say it. He looked like something. I mean, I don't know what you'd call it. But Coach Kinder at the time, Yogi Kinder, was our coach. And the year after I graduated, he said, man, this first year's helmet, we just did it. We were in a hurry. You know, we were worried about how we were playing on the field, not what we looked like.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
Figure something else out for us. So Coach Kinder kind of said, here's the blank canvas. Have at it. So 2012, we came out with the M-Pickaxe debuted on a silver helmet, looked kind of cool, and we did it way too small, but we figured out, okay, that's a good identity, we'll play with that. So through him kind of giving me some freedom, we went from that silver helmet to a flat black, and we were the first AA school to do a flat black helmet, and did this real neat wind tapered looking stripe that looked like it was moving in the air. And then as schools started playing us, especially that year in 2013, the flat black helmet, everybody kind of went, oh, who's doing that for you? And Coach Kinder was nice enough to say, hey, get up with my guy, Wes. He'll hook you up. And and so that brought in some other teams, like Jefferson up in the Eastern Panhandle, Chapmanville, some other different schools. And it's grown from there. And then now I've had, you know, Winfield, Princeton, a bunch of them. I know I'm forgetting, but
all of the helmets I like, Wes, all of the helmets I like you're naming. So that's great. That's awesome.
And it's neat having that connection, I mean, to these different coaches and stuff, and seeing them get into this competition has been cool too. But what, you know, back to the part two of your question there of schools looking at someone like myself on their staff, I mean, it's beneficial. And even I'll say from our perspective, I assist with our social media stuff as well. That's becoming big. I mean, it helps to me. It helps folks like you guys be involved and understand and know what's going on if we have a better social media presence as a team. Not just in terms of designs of helmets, but graphics, stats, that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
So, you know, the more info we get available for you guys, the better. So I think it's worth it. You know, it's hard, though. You get into these smaller programs that are more rural in our state. We all know how the geography of West Virginia is. It's a little bit tough.
Yeah. Sure.
But, man, if you can have somebody that's nerdy enough, I'll say, to handle this stuff, oh, I think it's a major asset to a program and something – you know, even if it's not a coach, because to me, you can't coach and do this as much as I do. I think that's
right.
Why,
yeah,
I'm successful right. With it. I don't have to worry about the X's and O's. I'm just thinking, oh man, that'll look good on video, or you know.
No, sure, you're right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Well, and I think a lot of it all goes back to the old adage. So if you look good, you play good, you feel good, and you're proud of how you look and how you're playing, and like Wes said, it gets notoriety. Not only, you know, in the community, but around the state and even outside the state. And the coach in me, my job is to promote all of my players. You know, I want them to get recognized somehow. And you know what? If the way their uniform looks and that catches somebody else's attention, that might help get my guy, you know, recognized. So I think it's a great thing.
Well, and you know how much pride goes into high school sports. You know, West Virginia's, you know, they're no different in that. There's a ton of pride in that. So to me, it feeds right in. If people love that logo or they love that design, I can see that, like you're saying, Scoot, that, you know, people are wearing that around town. You know, you're adding to notoriety and you're adding to the pride in the school. So I love it.
So as we're in championship week this week for the helmet tourney, tell people how they can vote and what happens next with the winner when they're selected here at the end of the week.
So our final four round is here. That'll all take place on my Twitter account. We just to say this too, we looked at creating a West Virginia High School Helmets account, which I actually may still do that just so we can build a catalog of the helmets.
Yeah, yep.
But this, it was easier where I already had a following database kind of on my account. So the Final Four will go live. I got to pull up my calendar here. I think it's tomorrow is when we go live. See, there's the stump the bartender question we were talking about. I had all these crazy stats, and that was like one thing you'd think I would have made a note on, and I didn't. Okay, here we go. So May the 19th. Yeah, tomorrow at noon, the Final Four will happen.
Awesome.
And it's a two-day round. So the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and then the championship are all 48-hour rounds. Give the people that little extra bit of time to vote. The 24-hour rounds, got very competitive the first three. But these have just, where it's longer, allowed a lot more voters. Right. And they're towards the end, except for one matchup we had in the Elite Eight. All of them kind of came down to the wire. But basically, they'll go on Twitter. Final Four, two games, if you will, go live tomorrow at noon. One vote per Twitter account. And I would recommend if somebody wants their team to win, do it quick. Be ready at 12 noon because the pattern, interestingly, through this competition has been teams that just jump out of the gate and get ahead, whether they're ahead 2% or 5% within the first 20 minutes, like 90% of those teams end up winning their matchups.
Okay. Yeah.
I cool. wonder if that's interesting. I wonder if you can't really see what the results are until you vote. So I don't know how people would, you would think maybe people are swayed by seeing that, but that's good. Interesting point.
And I love that the poll actually does that. It's interesting you'd mention that because a lot of people were asking me, they said, well, are people doing it that way? How are they? And it's totally visual what you're seeing, so it is opinionated to a certain degree, but it's neat as the admin I get to watch that wave.
And
I will say though, I gotta give them a shout out. Clay County was the thrillers of the tournament until they were knocked out last round, because they actually every time but one they came from behind to win.
Wow.
So they've got down pretty bad one moment, and their crowd and community rally, there was a police department I think retweeted or somebody.
Oh, I love it. Government. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
It was like, get on there, vote for the Panther.
you've been getting a lot of action on Twitter. It's pretty awesome. And then the winner this week will then go on to Nationals, which is in June. Is that correct?
The goal as of now, we were actually, before I came on here with you guys, was in the group chat with our directors of the different tournaments in different states. We're trying June the 1st to have the national tournament ready. The only problem is states like California or Texas, where they are so large, and we know how football is in those two states, it's going to take those guys that run those tournaments a little longer.
Okay.
We may be the 1st of June, but I would bank on maybe the first 2 weeks of June sometime starting there. But it's going to be neat. What's really cool is actually some of the guys that are already running other tournaments that have concluded have volunteered to run tournaments in other states to try to get all 50.
Oh, nice. So
it's going to be pretty neat. Got Alaska and Hawaii are up on there right now. They're live.
Nice.
Been some neat helmets too, those places. You wouldn't expect. Alaska has surprised me. They had some cool.
Well, guys, definitely check it out if you haven't had a chance. It's at Wes Wilson 247, at Wes Wilson 247. And you can vote all the rest of this week, get that championship in there, and then keep an eye. I'm sure Wes will post about the national ones. Hey, and if you're a high school coach and you need some helmet design, you need something done.
You got to hit this guy up. Are you
gotta
kidding
hit Wes
me?
Up.
You got to find Wes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Wes, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time, and it's been awesome. Thanks for putting this tournament together and the state, and it's been fun for us. We loved it. We've been loving it.
It's been great following it.
Hey, it's been fun. I tell you, it's something to do. It's been a nice kind of, instead of sitting around twiddling the thumbs, what's next? And that's it. I'll close with this. It was interesting. I've had two or three coaches say, man, I've been so bored out of my brain. This has given me something to do other than watch pedal film. So
that's awesome.
It's been cool to give people some relief. But guys, appreciate y'all having me.
Yeah, thanks, Wes. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Wes. Appreciate it. Good luck to you.
Yeah, guys, that was great to have Wes on. That was super entertaining. Definitely go and check out the tournament at Wes Wilson 247. It's pretty awesome. So thanks.
Yeah, super interesting. Really, really appreciate him coming on with us.
Hey, guys, I don't know if you've been following WVU in the social media. We should talk a little WVU stuff. How about the fact, President Gee this week, all over the place on the social media and in the press. But the big thing was is he went on national television and said that he believes, I think it was CNBC, I forget. But anyways, he said he believes that there will be college football in the fall, even if he has to suit up.
What do you think a stiff arm from President Guy would feel
and
like?
And then he sent out that tweet with him doing the stiff arm. Did you see it? It looked like a weak stiff arm, I got to be honest.
Striking kind of a Heisman. I think he had the wrong leg crossed when I saw that photo.
I got to be honest, President Guy, that just did not look like you're ready to hit the field.
Of the three of us, who would get knocked over by that stiff arm?
Johnson.
I agree.
I vehemently disagree, but are you surprised that he's so adamant about that state? I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of surprised because
I was a little surprised.
I thought, you know, I think people in his position are predisposed and kind of, you know, they're probably almost having to be non-committal on these things, right? So I was just surprised that he came out and just made a statement, even if it's not like someone's going to hold him to that, but I was just surprised to hear his energy saying, yeah, this fall. I was surprised.
I think he's at the stage of his life and career where he doesn't really care what people think if he says something that's maybe not that it's off color, but if he comes out and is a little bit more forward speaking or a little bit more outspoken about something, I think he's willing to
what
let
are they
the chips
do?
Fall.
Are
yeah,
fire me?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm 100 years old. It doesn't matter.
Not 100.
Well, but President Guy, I mean, he historically has been, I don't care what people think about what I say type of person anyway.
Right.
But just here, I was just surprised because we've got, you know, we talked last week about Emmert saying, even if there's online classes, maybe we don't play ball. And so President Guy coming out like, yeah, we're playing this fall.
We're playing this fall and I'm suiting up. That's what he was saying.
It's like, I'm taping up. Yeah, I'm getting ready.
Staying with football real quick, guys. I don't know if you caught it, but our awesome coach, I'm just going to start calling him that. Like, awesome coach Neil Brown.
AC
Neil Brown. Was on the Pat McAfee show this week or last week. And it was just, again, another situation where everything that Neil Brown says just makes me excited about the program. Everything. Well, everything from the fact that, I mean, he came off and he was talking about how he's using The Last Dance and how he's trying to motivate these kids. And they're, you know, they're watching the documentary and how great of a leader Jordan was and how he wants to make leaders and, you know, that whole thing. And then he goes on this not rant, but he goes on this little soapbox thing about how he, as a coach, takes the player's side in the name and likeness, you know, the NIL stuff with the NCAA. And he's like, these guys need to be able to, you know, make money off their likeness. I mean, it was just phenomenal. Like, everything he said was great.
Yeah. And it doesn't hurt when he and Pat do a rendition of Country Road.
Right. I mean, that, which was phenomenal.
I mean, I'm not going to lie about that, but I think Coach Brown is just, he seems so comfortable in these interviews, you know, like he's always, no matter what Pat asked him, he was comfortable speaking to it. And he comes across very genuine when he's talking about
very real,
you know, when he's talking about what he wants to do with the players, what he wants to get him involved in. And like, to me, if I were a player, that would make me want to run through a wall for that guy. So I love it. And I think you can tell that those guys are in good hands. I mean, he is going to add that education, whatever education process he can build in, you can tell he's going to take advantage of.
What's amazing to me, if you rewind, let's go back 6-8 months ago and Pat McAfee's feelings on his time at West Virginia and for the program.
Yeah. Yep.
That seems to be in the distant past now because of Neil Brown.
Well, and didn't you like that Coach Brown even kind of right off the top said, you know, something to the effect of, and we're looking forward to having you back sometime. You know, to me, it was like, I love that because you could tell he's probably heard that. I'm sure he's well aware of that. And he's offering a, you know, kind of an olive branch out there to Pat. And
well, it was
cool.
You know what the other interesting thing was for me was that that Pat, who, you know, they've talked about all those issues that Pat had with the school. And then, but Pat said that when Mike Montoro reached out and said, hey, you know, coach wants to be on with you. If you get a chance, coach will be on with you. And Pat was like super excited about it and brought that. It just brings that connection back again that I think that we've been wanting for years with Pat.
Yeah.
And, you know, I assume we'll see Pat. We might not see fans in the stands, but we might see Pat McAfee on the sidelines this fall.
When do you think Mike Montoro will reach out to Coach Brown about getting on our show?
I have a feeling that won't happen.
It might be a while.
You know, it's, you know, again, you gotta have Pat McAfee kind of listeners. I mean,
we're close, right? Are we close? You know the numbers.
If you're
better.
Listening, Mike Montoro, he could be on any time. We're nice guys. We're not gonna do crazy
stuff.
These
guys, they're
these
good
guys.
You know the numbers better than I do. Are we close to Pat?
No, we're not close to Pat. Not at all. I know the numbers better. I know the numbers better than anybody. We're not close to anything.
We need you to do some promotion. But hey, so
are we in the ballpark?
No, not even in the ballpark. We are not even in the same country. Like right now, Pat's like China and we are like Mauritius.
Pat's like in the north end zone and we are like the Beechhurst PRT station.
Yes, that's exactly right. Finally,
we got some traveling to do.
Finally, guys, I just wanted to touch real quick on, I don't even really understand what's happening, but something's going on with Barstool Sports and Coach Huggins.
Coach Huggins' Twitter.
There's a lot of photoshopping.
Yeah, what's going on with that, Scoot?
It appears to be the Coach Huggins coaching tree of sorts. We see, I think there was a tweet of the Dream Team,
mm-hmm.
and you had Coach Huggins, I think Andy Kennedy and Frank Martin. And maybe a Dave Portnoy were photoshopped into that picture. And then there was a WWE GIF with Frank Martin and Coach Huggins and might have been Andy Kennedy again. But I think John Calipari was in one of these photoshopped pictures. I don't know what it is. I don't understand it, but it's hilarious.
Well, and they're tweeting, Guido, they're tweeting at... you know, the NFL commish Twitter handle. So it's the first one that caught my attention was one of Will Ferrell in Anchorman blowing into a conch shell. And it's got the tagline, "It shouldn't have come to this, NFL commish, but team assemble." And then he's blowing into the conch shell, like, and he's tagged, so Frank Martin, you know, coach at, which I know, you know, we know, longtime friend of Hugs, he's been tweeting back. You know, you mentioned Calipari. I don't know, it's been fun to watch. I have no idea yet what they're talking about, really, but well, it's fun to watch.
I don't know, Dave Portnoy, so I don't know if you guys paid attention here during the draft, Roger right. Goodell for charity, it was auctioning off an opportunity to watch, I think it's a Monday night football game, on his couch in his man cave.
No, I yes. did see that. Yes. I did see that. And Portnoy won. Yeah, he won the
bid. Portnoy won. Right. Portnoy who has been banned from attending
right.
NFL games.
Right.
Escorted.
He was arrested in front of the NFL offices. Has won this. And, yes. And then you have heard nothing from the NFL about how this will be handled. Gold.
I'm sure they're excited.
But gold. Just gold. Well, listen, guys, let's take a quick break. And then we're going to do what we always do. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. And we're going to play a little Bluff the Fluffs with the boys. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Vortec Knives is a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in high-quality steel, fast-opening, everyday carrying knives. If you go to VortecKnives.com today and use the code GYEO, you get a 25% discount on your entire order. That's Vortec, V-O-R-T-E-K, Knives.com, a West Virginia-owned and operated company specializing in fast-opening, high-quality, everyday carry knives. Vortec Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On. Don't forget, you can find us on the social medias, on Instagram, on Twitter, at Got Your Ears. Find us, like us, check us out. There's always fun stuff on there. We're posting stuff all the time, so definitely check it out. Guys, it's time for everybody's favorite segment, Bluff the Fluffs. This week,
all right.
This week I've got a good one for you guys. I'm getting some good ones for you.
I don't know. State food last week was pretty good. So
that was good. But this one might, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we did. Right now, Johnson won last week. He thrashed Scooty
Woo-hoo!
By like 35 points. Sorry, Scoot. and just it's painful. Johnson leads 2 Bluff the Fluffs to 1 right now in the rejuvenated Got Your Ears On Bluff Your Fluff. This week, guys, great topic for you. It is weird West Virginia laws.
Okay.
Weird all laws right. That have that are in West Virginia here. These are laws.
All I right? feel like Scoots it an advantage being a current
criminal.
Well,
I think he was going to resident. I think he was going to say resident.
I was going to go resident, oh, okay. But hey, thank you. I don't know what all's going on in Tyler County.
Never mind. So. Not the criminal thing. I didn't mean that. Sorry. All right, guys. So before we started, of course, we had a completely and total random flip of the coin to see who gets to go first. And congratulations, Johnson.
Yes,
you're
every
first this
time.
Week.
I am so lucky.
All right.
Garbage.
So here we go. These are, again, we're sticking with the multiple choice for you guys.
Okay.
Just because it's, again, I think it's easier for
yes.
you. Here you go. In West Virginia, when you commit adultery.
Ooh.
Yes.
Heavy hitter right off
Heavy
the bat.
Right off the bat. Right off the bat. In West Virginia, when you commit adultery, you must A, go to church for 4 consecutive weeks, B, pay a $20 fine to the county, C, camp outside for 2 nights, or D, write a written apology to all parties involved. Johnson?
Wow. So I'm leaning toward the 20.
Okay.
Because that just feels like insult to injury. Like, really? I owe you $20? But I'm going to go, Scoot, I think it's more of a civic duty to write everyone involved a letter of apology.
Ooh. Sorry, that's incorrect. So, Scoot, you get a chance to steal from Johnson here in 10 points. What do you want to go with?
Well, I think there's probably, with adultery, there's probably some anger involved, right? At least one side is going to be angry.
Right.
So I think West Virginia would like you to camp outside for 2 days. A cooling off period. Okay.
No, I'm sorry. That's incorrect. Johnson, you would have been correct the first time. It's pay a $20 fine.
Oh, I knew it.
You pay a $20 fine to the
Come
county
on.
If you commit adultery. So budget that if you're getting frisky.
You need to support the economy.
Yeah, right.
If you decide to do that.
All right. So nobody gets any points right there. 0-0 still.
All right. Coming out of the box hot.
Coming out of the box hot. Scoot, question is to you. All right. In West Virginia, you may not... You may not hold a public office if, A, you have moved out of the state of West Virginia for any period of time, B, you own or have owned a handgun that is made outside of the United States, C, you have participated in a duel, or D, you own more than 12 acres of land.
That's interesting.
That's a good one.
I'm going to say, while I like a couple of those, I'm going to say that the letter A, that you've lived outside and then have come back.
Ooh. That's incorrect. That is not the correct
Scoot,
answer, Johnson.
We've all lived outside and come, like no one would ever be able to run for anything.
Right.
Right. So these are all complex answers, Guido. Like,
right.
So I feel like... why would they not want you to own more than 12 acres? So I don't think that's the right, I don't think that's it. What were my other 2 choices?
So, you've got the 12 acres one is left. You've got, you own or have owned a handgun made outside of the United States, or you are C, you have participated in a duel, for the steal.
I feel like people would like you more if you participated in a duel. So I'm going to go with you've owned a handgun not made in the U.S.
That's incorrect. The correct answer is you cannot hold public office in West Virginia if you have participated in a duel.
Oh, man. See, I need to think of what I think the wrong answer is and then pick that immediately.
And pick that 2 in a row. So we're still 0-0. No steals. Johnson, back to you with question number 3. In the city of Huntington.
Ooh, this is not fair. Not fair. He's from there.
No. No, that's correction. I lived there, Scoot. Are you trying to get rid of the entire audience by slandering the whole, which you've already
tried to peg me in Virginia.
You were born in Virginia. Listen, these are facts. These are not. You were born in Winchester, Virginia.
Because I lived there for a period of time.
Your birth certificate, is it West Virginia or
it's
Virginia?
It's Virginia. Okay. But
Thank you.
We've case been settled. Down that road and people will back me up.
You were born in Virginia. Yes, they will back you up. Yes, all right, Johnson, here, this question is yours. In the city of Huntington, a firefighter may not, A, participate in a pickup basketball game, B, whistle at a woman passing by a firehouse, C, go to a Marshall sporting event, or D, use a match to light a cigarette or cigar.
Gosh, these answer choices, Guido.
And I just want to go on record saying that there's one answer that's correct, which I found on the internet, obviously. And then the other three I have made up. So I just want to...
Wow, I'm impressed.
You did some homework on these.
Yes. So there's one correct. The other ones come straight from this noggin.
Gosh. So
for 5 points.
I think that I'm going to go with... firefighters have a no catcalling policy.
That's the correct answer. They are not allowed to whistle at women passing by the firehouse.
But wouldn't you think they would also not be allowed to light something with a match? Like, I feel like that would just be a general,
it's a good one.
Hey, let's go ahead and be conservative and not do that too. But
all right. Well, anyways, Johnson takes a commanding lead.
5-0, Scoot.
Not worried.
Over Scooty. And Scooty, this next question is to you. A child may not attend school in West Virginia if A, they are wearing non-leather suspenders, B, their breath smells of wild onions, C, when they have not completed their homework assignments for the night before, or D, they have not bathed in at least 3 days. State law.
Well,
see, now I feel like I'm at a disadvantage here because Scoot is very familiar with the school system in West Virginia.
I'm going to go out of a some of those answers are questionable. I'm going to go with bathed in 3 days. You got to be fresh.
Okay. It's incorrect. That is not the correct answer.
Scoot, how would we ever verify that?
Well, I mean, you'd smell.
Yeah, right, I guess. So, Johnson, back to you for the steal and 10 points. Is it A, they are wearing non-leather suspenders, B, their breath smells of wild onions, or C, they have not completed their homework assignments from the night before?
No one does their homework. That's just silly talk. no one would go to school if that were the case. I'm going to go with, I don't understand this, Guido, but I'm going to go with your breath smells of onions.
That's the correct answer.
Why on
you
earth
cannot
is that the case?
Eat ramps before you go to school, folks.
I was just going to say that. Like, that's like an anti-ramp. The people in, Richwood?
The Richwood. They'd
the people
be very
of
upset.
Richwood would be ticked. I bet they don't enforce that.
Nobody would go
Richwood.
To school. I want to see that law enforced that you, if your breath smells of wild onions, you can't go to school.
I bet they don't enforce that in any way, shape, form, or fashion, Scoot.
Johnson takes the steal.
I mean... That's ridiculous.
Is that ever enforced? Do we think that's enforced?
I don't enforce it. No, so I'd say no, it's not.
All right. So Johnson takes the steal, takes the lead, 15-0. Scoot, you are in trouble. And this question is back to Johnson. All right, Johnson, here you go. While riding a train in West Virginia,
okay,
it is illegal to A, sit next to someone unless they are a relative, B, drink beer or wine, C, take a nap, or D, remove your shoes.
This really has me stumped. I'm going to have to say, if I'm relaxing, I might take off my shoes. It seems like no harm, no foul there. I'm going to go no beer or wine.
Ooh. That's incorrect. That is incorrect. Scooty, to you for the steal and 10 points.
He's left me with a tricky one here. So the first option was sit next to somebody you're not related to. Is that correct?
Correct. Sit next to someone you're not related to, take a nap, or remove your shoes. while riding a train in West Virginia?
Here's my a couple thoughts there, right? So a lot of people are riding trains. Sometimes maybe hard not to sit next to somebody you're not related.
And what I did not check is this law, if the PRT falls under this law.
Oh, that's a good call. Yeah, that's a good call.
Napping. If you nap on a train, you might miss your stop, and that's a problem. But is it as big a problem as somebody that's got stanky feet?
Right. They're all good ones. What do you think, Scoot?
I'm going to say take a nap.
That's correct. You are not allowed to take a nap on a train in West Virginia.
This makes no sense. What if I'm tired?
Listen, yeah. Jack, we're not toting you around the state. Get off at your stop.
No, I can't.
Well, that's why the person that you may or may not be related to that's sitting beside you needs to give you like a courtesy elbow. Like, hey, buddy, hey, is this your stop? I mean, snoozing.
I think you just need to get your sleep out before you get on the train.
All right, guys. Gosh. Here we go. Scoot, question is back to you. You can tie it up with a correct answer. Johnson leads 15-10 right now. In the city of Alderson, West Virginia, it's near Lewisburg, if you didn't know that. The city of Alderson, it is illegal to A, walk your tiger in public, B, leave your house unlocked, C, eat strawberries on the 4th of July, or D, own more than 14 pairs of shoes.
Well, the tiger one is just ludicrous. Who's got a tiger in Alderson, West Virginia? The shoes, Johnson will never be living in Alderson, West Virginia, if that were the case. He's like the Imelda Marcos of shoe wearers.
You don't get a Filipino despot ruler reference every week.
Johnson is the Imelda Marcos of podcasters. So let's see. What were my other two options?
Yeah, walk your tiger in public, leave your house unlocked, eat strawberries on the 4th of July, or own more than 14 pairs of shoes.
I'm going to say eat strawberries on the 4th of July.
That's incorrect. That is not the correct answer. Johnson.
Ooh, I liked that guess.
10 points for 10 points and the steal.
You know, I think, listen. When you're not sleeping on the train, you're also not just walking your tiger around town.
That's correct. You are not allowed to walk your tiger in public while in Alderson,
West Virginia. I don't know why you have your tiger, Scoot, but you're not walking that guy around town.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Johnson takes a huge lead. Huge. That's a huge lead.
Go put on another pair of shoes.
20. Johnson takes the lead 25-10, and it's time, boys, for the final bluff. Now, guys, as always, for the final bluff, you have to have special buzzers to ring in on the question. So whoever rings in first gets to answer the question. So let's hear these buzzers this week. Scoot, what's your buzzer sound like?
Thundercats, ho!
Okay. And Johnson, what do we got?
That was a good one. Like, I'm kind of taken aback. No, in honor of Wes, I'm going to go pickaxe.
Pickaxe. All right, pickaxe. So we got pickaxe and a Scoot yelling Thundercats. Okay. So here we go, guys. Last question. All right. For it all, 25 points. Scoot, if you get this, you win. Johnson, if you get this, you decimate Scoot for a second week in a row. Here we go. In the state of West Virginia, it is illegal while swimming underwater to A, open your eyes, B, wear flippers, C, whistle, D, wear goggles.
Thundercats, ho!
All right, Scoot, you've buzzed in. What's your answer?
I'm going to say open your eyes. Keep those peepers closed.
That's incorrect. Scoot, you've officially lost.
Can I still give a guess?
Johnson, you can still give a guess just so we can say what the final score is officially. Johnson, what do you have?
I'm going to say whistle.
That is correct. That is the correct answer. You are not allowed to whistle while underwater in the state of West
Remember
Virginia.
Remember that, Scoot, the next time you're, you know, taking a swim in the Ohio.
I'll keep that in mind.
Ugh. And for a second week in a row, folks, Johnson takes Scoot smashes him to the mat, boom, and then kicks him while he's down.
I need to get Josh Witt back. Josh Witt was my lucky charm. I need to get him back on the show.
We need to get him back on the show. Johnson wins.
I'm up 3-1 now.
Where's Josh? Josh, I need your help, man.
Johnson has 3 wins to Scoot's 1 win, and that final score tonight, folks, is 50-10. Sorry, Scoot. That's tough. Boom. It's a tough loss.
Scoot, you are the James Madison to my WVU opening day football season.
Nice. Nice. Ugh. It's a tough loss.
He's ignoring me now.
I'm just
totally upset. He's depressed. All right. Well, listen, folks, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our brand new segment that we like to call, I Can't Believe My Ears. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Got Your Ears On.
Tactical Legion Knives, a West Virginia-owned and operated company that specializes in heavy-duty tactical knives and gear for the professional warrior, the weekend warrior, and the outdoor warrior. Our products are built tough. For who? For warriors. Hey, Mountaineer fans, make sure you go on Amazon and search Tactical Legion Knives. And when you do, make sure you put in the promo code 25TOBRADIO for Tob Radio. You'll get 25% off on Tactical Legion Knives.
All right, welcome back to Got Your Ears On, Guido, along with Scoot and Johnson. Don't forget, you can get a lot of information about who we are and what we talk about from our website, Johnson.
Yes, you're exactly right. You can everything you need to know. So latest shows, all the show notes about the latest shows are on the site. You can hit the subscribe page to see all the socials where you can subscribe to us, including the hotline, Guido, that you can call in and leave us a message if you'd like. And if you happen to be a sponsor and you'd like some sponsor info, we've got a page for that too. So check us out. GotYourEarsOn.com.
Definitely. GotYourEarsOn.com. It's the place where everything's happening. So definitely check it out. It is the hub of everything about us.
The hub.
So get this new segment we've been running for the last week or so here, guys, and it's time to do it again. Scooty, I can't believe my ears.
All right. Well, this might sit a little bit better with Johnson. Johnson, you're a guy that likes to wear layers, right? Is that correct?
I do.
Maybe
I appreciate layers in the wintertime.
Would you say often you wear more than one shirt?
I will do that.
Okay. Now, how fast do you think you can put a shirt on?
I never really thought about my efficiency of the process, but pretty fast. do you want a timed number?
What kind of shirt are we talking about? Are we talking about like a button shirt? We're buttoning shirts?
Let's just say a t-shirt, a standard t-shirt.
I mean, from shelf to torso, I'm going to say, what, like 3 seconds?
3 seconds. Okay. Well,
I feel like that's blazing fast. I don't feel like it's
really
that fast.
I feel like there's not a whole lot that's a long time.
I think there's a good 8 or 10 seconds in there.
Guido, how about you? If you were to put a shirt on, how fast can you do it?
Oh, I'm a good couple of seconds. I don't know. I'd say 10 seconds.
What are you navigating? 10 seconds?
I got to find the hole where my head goes.
10 seconds?
10 seconds for one shirt.
I don't know.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you right now.
An NFL quarterback has what? To get into a three-step drop and find a receiver, he's got what, 4 seconds?
Yeah, I think it is 4 seconds. It's maybe
Guido's still putting a shirt on.
But wait, we're talking from the day, from the moment you pull it out, like taking it out of the dresser and putting it on the body.
I said, yeah, shelf to torso, 1 Mississippi, 2
Billy
Mississippi,
Hamilton would be rounding third by the time you got your first arm into the arm.
What are we doing?
All right. Maybe 5 seconds. I think 3 seconds is a little quick. I mean, don't you gotta check it out? Make sure it's the right shirt you want, Johnson.
I've got bad news for you, fellas.
Right. Okay.
Neither of you are on a record-breaking pace.
Okay.
Because an Idaho man set the Guinness Book of World Records by putting 10 t-shirts on in 15.61 seconds.
This can be broken by one of us.
This would have been a 15-minute process for Guido.
Wait, how do we do now? I feel like Johnson can break this record.
Now, there are some rules.
Okay.
It cannot be a V-neck, and it cannot be a button-down. So it's got to be a t-shirt, right. Standard
so
issue
crew
t-shirt.
Crew-neck t-shirt.
He was a little upset because he fell short of his goal of 15 seconds.
What was the previous record?
That I don't have. That I do not have. It had to be, I'm going to guess.
Did he shatter it? Like, was the previous record like 2 minutes?
Now, like, he did say that it was difficult to practice, though, because sweat would cause his skin to become too sticky. And he would have to take breaks to cool off again.
That is a weird record.
I got to be honest with you. This is something Johnson needs to try to break.
I think here's...
Listen, I'm going to throw this out here. I feel like I can.
I mean, not to toot my own horn, but I will. One time I was at a pool party when I was probably 9 or 10. And somebody said, hey, go ahead, head to the bathroom. You can get your swimming trunks on, you know, get ready to go in the pool. I came back out. The father of the birthday person said that he felt I should be on the fire department because I got changed so fast. So does that mean I have some of those qualities that it takes to become a Guinness Book of World Records holder?
You remember the, you know, those aren't there like shows in Vegas or something like the quick change? Like,
ooh, yeah,
you know, I could be your future Scoot right there, moving to Vegas.
So like if you are David Copperfield,
mm-hmm,
or your local firefighter, like that's the demographic that this record is kind of catering to, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you.
And at your rate of 10 seconds per shirt.
I know, I'm like.
It would take you, you would have no chance.
A minute, it would take me 2 minutes to get dressed.
Yeah, you'd be on shirt number two by the time this guy was done.
What, Scoot, and be honest with me, all right?
Always.
What are the chances you could do it in 14 seconds?
Well, okay, so there's got to be some pre-planning, right? You can't just have a stack of shirts sitting over here on the side. You've got to have these babies lined up, and then you've got to come up with a plan, right? Am I going to go two arms in, then the
head? I feel like you've got to go two arms in. Two arms in, then pull it down over the
head.
Two arms in, then pull it down. No, I think arms first, and then you pull it down over the head.
Yeah, I think you go arms first, and then you ratchet it down over your head. And then arms in, ratchet down. Arms in, ratchet down. You go through like 15 shirts.
Let me ask you this, and I don't have the details, which would be good to know. Like, do all of the shirts have to be the same size?
Oh.
I mean, I would.
Right? Maybe
I
you go with a couple of smalls, then mediums, then large, then extra large. Yeah.
Work up. Because you're adding bulk, right? So those.
You got to get up to those 4XLs.
But if they're all the same size.
That's tough.
That's an issue.
Yeah, you're going
to. Because they're going to get tougher to put on as time goes.
You're going to end up looking like LeBron James in his Cavs jersey.
I feel like.
Just a little too small.
Well, or me and my Chris Mullen dream team, 92, which I sometimes will pull out.
Dude in a boy's medium.
Yes.
I think I was born for Guinness Book of World Records type things like this.
We need to find you a ridiculous record that you could break,
like,
you know.
Eating things. I'm pretty good at eating things.
Yeah, but I feel like it's got to be more ridiculous than that. Like, I feel like it's got
to
be...
The shirts, I mean, I think I could do it. It would have to be, like I said, the moment you get hung up, though, you're done. Like, it's got to be flawless. It's got to be nice and clean from start to finish.
I've got it, Guido. I've got
it. Okay, go ahead.
Look it up. Most macaroni and cheese eaten set amount of time, don't you? That's what
my biggest competition would be. Sonia Thomas, what do they call her? The Black Widow of... competitive eating.
Is that the lady I sent you last week that ate
so.
All the Big Macs? Was
I
that her?
So.
She did like.
I feel like this is a bad path we're leading Steve down with this competitive eating thing.
Right.
This is going to turn into he's going to practice all of this time.
I was built.
He's going to try to become a competitive eater, and then like all of a sudden we're going to see him like in 6 months and he's going to weigh like 350 pounds.
Well, here's the way I look. Okay, so if you watch Nathan's hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July, there's generally 20 competitors. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, usually.
Typically, the top three or four are like way far ahead of everybody else.
Right.
Hot dogs, I would fall in the everybody else.
Yes.
Could I be competitive? I don't know. I don't really like hot dogs, so probably not. But if you were to give me glazed donuts, macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
Cheeseburgers. You know, not anything too heavy. Not a Big Mac, but just a typical cheeseburger.
Chicken nuggets shaped like dinosaurs.
Chicken nuggets shaped like dinosaurs.
I would crush
that. I want to see that.
I would crush
that. You would crush that. It's like 250 in a scene.
The catch is, fellas, it's all about the bite.
I've had 7 brontosauruses, 400 T-Rexes.
So, anyway, Johnson, you've got some work to do. I think you're...
I feel like I can get this.
I feel like you're the best suited to it, because you're used to your... This is kind of your wheelhouse.
Yeah,
multiple
it is.
Shirts.
It is.
Well, you got to practice, Johnson, during the week, and then let us know next week how you're making it.
All right, I'll get on
it. Get your wife out with a stopwatch. And I'd like a bullhorn, and she can just rip into you while you're. What's wrong with you? Pick it up.
You can go faster than that. Come on. Our life savings is bet on this T-shirt competition.
You've got no heart. Put your heart into it.
Get like a Fruit of the Loom sponsorship or something.
There you go. See. Thinking about the big bucks.
Yeah,
that's you always,
Johnson. See, there you go. That's right. You got to go tagless then in that case.
I mean, obviously.
I feel like
on.
You have to go tagless.
Yeah, you can't have any, wind shear.
Yes, it's drag.
Yeah, come
drag.
On.
Drag.
Yeah.
Like, is this one of those things, if you're going to be in this competition, that maybe like a competitive swimmer, you shave your body?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look into that stuff, right?
I mean, at least for shirt number one. I think you got to shave your body, right?
You got to shave the head and Vaseline your skull.
Swim cap? Do you wear a swim cap?
Scoot will be your Vaseline guy, Johnson. He'll oil you all up.
A swim cap. I love it. That's
I think you
got to
wear a swim cap.
He'd be like, why do you have Speedos on? You don't need Speedos.
He's wearing a Speedo and a swim cap. And he's putting T-shirts on. I'm breaking this record, guys.
I'm committed.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, guys, while Johnson practices putting T-shirts on, we will keep an eye on what's happening in the world of West Virginia University sports, which isn't much right now, but we're still finding stuff to talk about. So tune in, tell your friends, listen, like, and subscribe. We appreciate everybody that's listening out there. And thanks to Wes Wilson for coming on. Definitely check out his Twitter at WesWilson247. And it's great right now that that West Virginia High School helmet tournament's just phenomenal. It's off the charts. So go back and check it out if you haven't got a chance yet. Listen, guys, we appreciate it. We'll be back next week with another show. You've been listening to Got Your Ears On.